Now remember, we are not close communicants. Anybody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, believes in the winning of souls, tries to serve the Lord, you're sure welcome. We don't make any difference. We teach a little different, but that doesn't say we are close communicants. You got to believe this, you got to believe that. You could understand by what I said tonight that I'm not trying to make people believe the way I do. If something they see, that's fine. But anyway, Paul says in 23, "For I have received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." Faithful old Paul, he never gave him anything that he didn't get from God. You know, this marvelous. This marvelous. You hear so many people running around and they deliver everything and they didn't get it from God. Well, yeah, God does the Bible. Make the Bible contradict the Bible? I never found God contradicting himself. When did one and one make anything but two? When did two and two make anything but four? And four squared 16. God is a mathematical God. Everything in the world is reduced to numbers. There's nothing that's not reduced to numbers. Now, numbers can't lie. That's true, but liars can number. That's a bad thing, right? They'll do wrong. See, this man told the truth. It was just two and two make four. Three and three make six. God said so. Mine. He didn't add a word, didn't take a word. The Lord Jesus, the same night which he had betrayed, took bread. Now here's what God told him. When Jesus gave thanks, he broke it. And Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." That's exactly what Jesus said. God told Paul that. Paul didn't have a clue about this. I know a lot of people think he did, but he didn't. You know how I know he didn't? Because he said in Galatians, "There's not one thing I'm telling you I ever got from anybody. God told me." You really don't know. Let's just suppose, I know that is. The real Shekinah glory of God, pillar of fire, God's behind that. That's a picture of all. You realize what we're looking at tonight? The same one that told Paul to say that came right down there. Said, "Well, my, I didn't think that would be. Israel never thought God would send John the Baptist either." It doesn't matter what we think. What really counts is, do we think what's right when right has been proven? See, that's the big thing. Now, after the same manner he took the cup when he was up, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft you drink, in remembrance of me." Well, did he say that? He sure did. Now, was Paul lying, or did God tell him? God told him. Now, notice the accuracy. Perfect recall. Perfect prophet, perfect scribe. Now, now notice this. "For as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Is that what he said? That's what he said. Who told Paul? No disciple or Christian told him, because Paul wouldn't stand still to listen. Every time they tried to open their mouth, Paul would bung them down. Beat them up, cart them away. He didn't care if they got killed. Just, "Hey, plug your ears, scream, take up rocks, kill him, but don't let him talk." So Paul didn't, he wouldn't listen to anybody. When God put him down, he sure listened. Boy, did he have a good memory too. The Holy Ghost was his memory right now. "For whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, what we're looking at here to me, which has become so terribly important, is that the communion service could be held every time the people come together. Brother Branham said, "Branham Tabernacle, you do wrong." From the book of Acts, he showed them. When they came together, they celebrated the communion service. Now, why? Because in taking this,
there should always be related to it the true revelation of Jesus, the Son of God. Exactly who He was and is, what He did and what He is doing, and how this all comes from God and glorifies God and gives us this perfect relationship to Him, so that we are actually one with Him. So, communion services, I must admit that we fall greatly short so much of the time of commemorating His death till He comes, of really remembering who He is and what He did. Now, how can people that are Trinitarians take the Lord's Supper and not take it in vain when they're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? Now, anybody in his right mind or her mind knows that the Bible distinctly said that the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and yet God was His Father. Now, no child can have two fathers. So God is the Holy Ghost, and God created the sperm and the egg, wherein that life, which was that life of that Son that came forth, this day have I begotten Thee, started my generations in Thee. Mystery of mysteries, that life reduced right down to an actual sperm. In other words, that life went into that, bringing forth that holy blood and that second man, that last Adam, bringing him forth into the human race. Making us understand our true intrinsic relationship to God and the understanding of the kinsman redeemer. Understanding the fellowship restored in the life which now lies ahead of us. That's what we're talking about. But people just want to come and say, well, this is the fact that He suffered. This is the fact that He bled. Now hold it, hold it, hold it. Please, 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 you missed the point again. I understand all that. But what was behind it? A broken word. A forfeited covenant. Loss of fellowship. Now the new covenant. Oh, we're not going to break that one. No, listen. No, the bride went off, of course, not the true bride herself, but the church did going away. That little seed kept coming up, kept coming up. I'm going to tell you what, brother, said this bride ain't never going to go off course. This bride's going to stand here. And this is why when you take the communion, the Lord's Supper night, you can stand here and know this bride here stands with the blood that was shed, the life that was given. We stand with that word. That this had to happen to accomplish bringing that word back now to the full force and effect right before the tree of life and immortality. Yeah. This is a mechanic, so to speak. The dynamics are ours because the life came back on us. Takes us right to the tree of life. Well, that's what I'm looking at. I know, brother, sister, to me has been superficial. I don't believe we ought to be superficial. I believe we ought to, not trying to make something this and there. And I hate that you could be, you know, you can fall just as flat on your back as you can fall flat on your face. Right? In error and foolishness. We don't want that. We want to be a balanced church that understands this. We know what His death did. It reconciled us. It brought that word, that covenant into effect. And you know something? If you don't accept the covenant, take all the Lord's Supper you want, eat all the bread you want, drink all the wine you want. It's just a form. It's just a form.
This is reality. Let's rise at this time. The brethren come forward. And they'll help you. Those that don't understand, they'll help you come around so we don't get in each other's way. Foot washing out there and some back here. Now we have one that passes the bread and two that serve you the wine that makes it easier and simpler, one on each side of the table. Heavenly Father, as we stand before you tonight, we know that there's so much that we cannot say and so much we try to say that doesn't come out as perfect as you ought to, but Lord, we've tried to come to this place tonight where we realize that it's the blood of the covenant. It's the blood of God of the everlasting covenant. It's what happened 2,000 years ago that we commemorate tonight, that loosed upon us all of these things which were foreordained for us, and there was a great interruption caused by sin, Lord, which interruption is all but over now. We'll be going into the fulfillment of the great covenant and moving on and on. And tonight, Lord, we want to worship you in spirit and in truth and thank you for Christ's death upon Calvary, the bruising of the body, which brings the minor, as it were, the healing in those things. But beyond it is the major, where Brother Branham said, major in the major, which is the covenant word of this hour. The word, the part of that word, which is in now full effect. And we just thank you tonight that you made the way for it. And may we never, ever forget the sacrifice of the Son of God and his resurrection as the great mediator and intercessor. And he stands for us even tonight on the Father's throne, waiting for that great incarnation, waiting for the great wedding supper, that holy union, and the moving on, Lord. And we thank you for it. We know it's there, and we appreciate it, and this binds it a little more solid. And we give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we do on the communion weekends, and we have dinner also right around 12 o'clock. And so don't forget that. Trust you have a good night's rest tonight. And we haven't had questions and answers for a long time. But if anyone has any questions, I know sometimes questions arise, and I can understand that perfectly well. I've got questions myself. And we will have even the millennium, without a doubt, and but they'll be answered by the right authority. But we're just going on. So you have questions, don't forget, just write them down, hand them in, we'll see what we can do about it. So let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Appreciate having you all with us. And Lord, richly bless you. Heavenly Father, as we go about our way, we ask you to go with us, to protect us, to keep from harm and danger, to bring us back to more, Lord, and a real fellowship, a communion with the Holy Spirit, with each other around this word, Father. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us to pile word upon word until we're truly full of the life which is in that word, Lord. And we become not walking Bibles as though we can quote this and quote that, but Lord, we become living members of the living God, living epistles, and giving you glory of some description, or just even a little, that's our heart's cry, you might be glorified. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God, be all honor, power, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
And foot washing, and I want to remind you again, the men, of course, are out there in the foyer, and the women are back in the hall. There's a nice little room off there, and there's room back here for about a dozen people in the office. So foot washing can go on apace. Don't forget that, because that helps you not to just get through quickly, but actually to expedite, and that's what we want to do. We have the privilege of expediting things here. Now I'm going to go to John 13, and I just want to look at something here. And you know that Jesus, they had foot washing, and then they had the Lord's Supper, and so we'll just read a little bit here. Let me see what I want to start reading. We can read about verse 27, at the fact that Jesus gave the sop to Satan. Then it said, Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him.
For some of them thought because Judas had the bag. Now, see, Judas had the money. That sounds like the end time businessmen that boast about all their money. And they say, the Lord made me rich. Now, wouldn't you like to be rich? And you can be rich if you come to the same Lord I have. That's pretty obviously pretty tricky. I think they taught some preachers how to do that. I think Swagger took in $130 million, $39 million a year and he blew it. With his sexcapades and things. My, he sure must have been a tormented person to blow $139 million like that. Gee, how'd you like, let's think on these things, people. Think on what's going out there. This is not something facetious. This guy blew $139 million offerings coming in. What did he do with it? He was a pervert. Tilton brings in $12 million a year. He's been exposed. Baker went to jail. Millions and millions. This is just recent. This is not 50 years ago, 30 years ago. This came out of your businessmen deal. This comes out of Laodicea. Rich in Christian goods. Don't have a clue to Jesus. Put him outside entirely. Old Judas. Old Judas on the scene, son of perdition, casting out devils, using gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's not born again himself, he's just using gifts. False as can be, off the word. So he had the bag. My. See? So he, having received the sop, he went out and was night. Therefore, when he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Now, in this particular instance here of the Lord's Supper, and is set forth by Paul, is set forth in the scripture, that Jesus, having had this supper with them, said, this do in remembrance of me, as oft ye eat this bread, you show forth the Lord's death till he come. Now, I like to think upon the thought where Jesus said, this do, and as oft as you do it in remembrance of me, that, as I've said on different occasions, you simply cannot take the blood as a covenant. Because the blood in itself would not tell you anything. The blood is an adjunct to the covenant. In other words, the covenant is ratified through the shedding of blood. See, in other words, God had to tell the people something. He had to give them a covenant. He had to give them a promise. He had to give them a contract. And the contract was made valid by blood. Because you couldn't make a contract with God as the contract should be made, which should be made on equal terms. And the equal terms would be that we'd have to meet God in the same condition that God is in, which is the perfection of righteousness. Because you've got to have a merging of the minds. You could hardly have a contract with a lawyer and a retarded person. It wouldn't be right. There's really no contract that's really valid in the law, the eyes of the law, in English-speaking countries at least, wherein the merging of the mind is not complete. See? There's got to be a merging of that mind. There's got to be a knowledge that both of them have the same knowledge. Well, now, let's face it. You've got God coming to man, not man coming to God, God coming to man. Now, how can man ever merge with the mind of God? How can man ever stand with God except God makes a way for it. And it's the blood that made the way. So that you and I, even though we don't have the mind of God, we're not omniscient like God. We're not righteous like God. See, in God there's no changing, no shadow of turning. We're very versatile. We go like this, we go out of control. So many turnings, changing minds, changing this and that. Well, how can there be a valid contract unless God did something to help us out so that we could enter into a liaison with Him and we'd stand face to face with Him? How do you think Moses stood face to face with God? How do you think that Paul stood face to face with God? How do you think William Branham stood face to face with God? How did anybody? After the fall, there was only one way it could be done. That's by blood. And Brother Branham mentions God condescending. Coming down from the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. The life could not come back. He could look through that blood. And if you take a red glass and look at something red, it turns white. He used that illustration. That's an old illustration used in Sunday school and all. So when you talk about the blood, you're talking about that which ratifies the covenant. In other words, it's the merging of the minds that now I accept the blood and accept this word as God divinely, vindicatedly reveals it. Now I might not understand it all, but I've got a contract through the blood. I can come and I can say, Lord, I receive your word. That's my covenant. And I receive it because of the blood. Now, you go, as I've done time after time, to John 3 and the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, I believe it is. That the blood can be shed. And a person can claim the blood all he wants. But if you're not with the covenant, that blood doesn't do any good. It's just like if you went down here and you put $1 million down on a piece of land. And you found out the piece of land wasn't for sale. You just got took. You bought the Brooklyn Bridge. What good is your $1 million? You've lost it. So people talk about the shed blood and the paying of a great price. And Peter says that. There's no two ways about it. Peter says it. I understand the shedding of the blood in the great place. But I understand this one thing that most people don't understand. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, if you do not enjoin the everlasting covenant, and then say, I claim the blood to bypass the covenant, you're wrong. See what I'm trying to tell you? Oh, come on. Let's go to John 3 and read it. Let's read it again. We'll talk about it and we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Because this is what I got in mind to just keep impressing you. 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That's the one of a kind. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now watch it, believe in Him. Now see, there's a little tricky right there. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He tells you right there, the giving of the Son for eliminate condemnation. He tells you, He gave the Son. Then why is there still condemnation? Because it's the blood of a covenant. It's not just blood. It's the blood of a covenant. And the covenant sealed in blood means it cannot be broken. Now I say, what is the covenant? Aha! Well, let's call in the organizations. Let's call in the Pope. Let's call in the Strike Men. Let's call in the great men. Let's call in the theologians. Forget it. There's the covenant. Right from the pillar of fire through the prophet. See? It's the word of God. Now, he that believeth on him is not condemned. This is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's Cain. The evil deed was taking that fruit offering, and there's a first fruit offering in Scripture. Bypassing the blood, misdividing the word, that's a blood sacrifice. He had nothing because he did not go to the word. Now, is Abel took the blood covenant because he went to the word. He divided the word correctly. Cain did not. Now, the devil can never divide the word. The organizations can never divide the word correctly. They'll always make it wrong to you. Now, it says, they love their evil deeds. They will not come to the word. Because why? Their religion, their worship is evil. We said, Brother Bill, didn't Brother Branham say that people should go to church, at least to go to church to try to be better? Hey, that's true. That's better than murdering somebody and everything else. But the point of the matter is, going to church is not the answer if the word of God is not there in the living power of Almighty God. So, when we come to the table of the Lord and take the bread and the wine tonight, remember this one thing. Turning down this message, turning down the revealed word of God, the blood cannot possibly stand for you. You cannot plead the blood of Jesus. You simply cannot say, well, Lord, you shed your blood, and that's going to take care of everything. I'm a disobedient child. I can't see the prophet's message. I can't see that how your word has come to pass here, and I reject it. Then that's rejecting the blood also. It will not stand in good for us. I hope I'm making myself clear there, because you could get kind of confused and say, well, Brother Braille doesn't believe in the blood. You bet I believe in the blood. I believe in the shed blood. I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. Now, the question is this. If the blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride, what was it that needed perfecting? Well, something had to be there that the blood had to take care of. Now, let's go back to Eden. Where'd they go off course? Off the word. Let's go back to Paul. Where'd they go off course? Off the word. So I'm on the right premise. I might not explain it too well. I might not get you to see what I'm looking at, but I'm going to tell you this. I don't believe for one minute that there's people who are claiming the blood today and talking about Jesus Christ. And I know for a fact, because there's roughly 1 billion so-called Christians. And 8 people made the ark. Out of the 5.5 billion people, there's that many on earth right now at this hour, going on to 6 billion people. 8 people, I'm not saying 8 people are going to stand here and make it. I'm just telling you that's a percentage. they're all talking about, there's 100 million, there's almost 1 billion Christians, so-called, out of the 5.5 billion people. Now, how are you going to tell me that those people talking about Jesus Christ dying on Calvary and accepting the blood, how then will only a very few people be in that rapture? You tell me. Yeah, I'm not downgrading the blood. I'm telling you, it was the blood that made the word available. And if you take, say, I've got the blood and I don't want the word, I'm going to tell you something. That blood is not covering you. And let's say the next thing. When you're really under the blood, the Holy Spirit will come into your heart. There's no way he can't come. There's no way he cannot come. He won't do it. So you see, the whole thing lines up. The blood of the everlasting covenant. We are taking tonight, physically, the emblems of that which gives us the everlasting covenant of God that opens the door to it. You see what I'm saying? Opens the door to it. The blood has made the way. The blood has made the way for the end time message. It made the way for the tree of life to stand right here. It made the way for immortality. It made the way for the dead. He said, just a minute. What am I talking about? I'm talking about this word of his. I'm talking about those promises. The blood made the way for it. Now then, if you don't believe what the blood made the way for. And you have not entered into that. Where are you? Outside the door. So now we get to the nitty-gritty. And the nitty-gritty is always the same thing. When we partake of these emblems, remember, there's something behind it. There's something that's very real, that's very spiritual. And taken tonight, its power is not lost on us. Because we are remembering that He died according to this word, He rose according to this word, and everything goes to word. So, brother, sister, I'm so glad that the blood of Jesus Christ avails tonight. It's opened the door. It's given me the everlasting word. I couldn't have it before, but I've got it tonight. And now, knowing that we have received this everlasting covenant, then you tell me for 1 minute now that there's anything but perfection in that blood. I'm just trying to bring all these words to the best I can, just many, many ways that Brother Branham brought us. So, all right, let's rise at this time, and you know how we take the the communion. We ushers or the brethren will help you coming around the side and all. We have handing out the bread. We have two trays for the wine so that we may expedite the service a little more. And the brethren come forward. We'll pray over the emblems and we'll sing as we partake. And remember this. There's the actual blood of Christ is behind it, the Word of God living. Heavenly Father, as we partake of these emblems tonight, we do it under Your authority. We do it, Lord, because we have permission to do it, to receive the emblems, because, Lord, we believe that we are full of the Holy Spirit, and we believe we are full of the Holy Spirit because we've received this Word to the best of our knowledge. We believe it word by word, and we revel in those things, Lord, that You have shown us, every single one. And we are happy, Lord, tonight that our eyes have been opened and have seen these things that have been reserved in this hour. And our ears have heard those things that have been reserved to this hour. And above all, our hearts have received those things in the word which have been reserved to this hour, standing literally before the tree of life. And as we partake of these emblems, we know that the blood made the way, Lord, that we could come to this word, to come right back to full restoration of communion and fellowship. The great covenant, Lord, Your own word. We appreciate that. And Lord, we stand here, we know we stand here complete. And it cannot be denied that it's all in You, what You've done, and we're grateful for it. We ask You, Lord, as people go by, that if there's healing necessary in the bodies, heal the sick amongst us, Lord. And help the people, Lord, in any exigency or circumstance whatsoever that they're in, Lord, to really lift up their eyes and rejoice that this is an everlasting covenant. The blood sealed it, and we're partakers showing that we believe it, and we are a part of it. Now, this being our prayer, Lord, and we believe we're praying according to the Word. We know, as John said, if we know that we have prayed according to the truth, that we absolutely know that the petition is granted. So we thank You for granting our petition and helping Your people tonight, Lord, on their little pilgrim journey out of here shortly to be over. Lord, to be full of Your grace and the Spirit that is in Your Word and the power of our God, not just in our midst, but in our lives. And we give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence tonight, for the Word of the living God, which we know that has been delivered to us by vindication, Lord. And we pray that it is sunk deep into our hearts, Father, because we know therein is the true life and the true food. And we do appreciate that tonight. We look to You to strengthen us in the inner man. We know the outer man perishes, but we also know that healing is available to us. So we ask, Lord, for Your rich mercy on every single person, everyone whose name is named here, Lord, who looks to You under this great covenant of the blood. And Father, now as we go home, we pray You'll go with us and give us a good night's rest, renewing our strength and bringing us back tomorrow, Lord, to hear Your word, fellowship together, and grow further in grace, Lord, and more filled with the Holy Ghost, until, Father, we come to that place where You desire us to be, and we also desire to be. We give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Take the name of Jesus with you.
We were looking at some scripture the other day in, I guess we were looking at 1 Corinthians 13, or 11, whatever it was there. And we went over to Hebrews, I guess it was. And we looked at the thought of verse 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Now, notice the God of peace. Now, if he's the God of peace, he's the author of it and actually the ruler. So, therefore, if you want to call Jesus the Prince of Peace, you've got to understand that God's got to be behind it. Huh? I certainly say I don't do anything about my father being in it. That's why his name on the check was the same. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and honor forever. In other words, that the Spirit, the same Spirit that indwelt Jesus, would work in us every good work. And there's no good work that isn't defined in the Bible. Any other work you're guessing at. Any other contract you're guessing at. In the Word you see the truth. Now, the thought was the blood of the everlasting covenant brought to your attention that we are not making little of the blood. Without the blood, there could not have been a covenant. Because you see, the covenant that God made in the Garden of Eden was one-sided and said, as long as you don't go to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everything remains in the status quo. You will have your dominion. And Adam got as far as naming the animals. Now, that's a monumental, prodigious test right there. I mean, they're finding things today in other realms that they didn't know existed. And I think some of them are small animals. And so Adam had the tremendous wisdom of God and the memory which the Holy Ghost has given us to recall. He had it in a marvelous way of innocence. And he had that given to him under that condition. Now, the minute he came into sin, God had to judge according to what he did, and the penalty had to be read out. Then in order to put Adam back, not in the status quo, but able to face God and to meet with God, to have anything to do with God, there was a shedding of the innocent blood of the Lamb. And he made them clothes of hides. Brother Branham speaks of those hides being ripped off the lamb and slapped on their bodies with the blood still dripping. That's quite a horrible thought. When you consider even that a wet garment is a very bad feeling. But when you look at this, you can begin to realize the enormity of that sin. There wasn't time to tan the pelt. There wasn't any time to do anything. It demanded the shedding of blood before God then could begin to speak to them and deal with them properly. Brother Branham said, God, the great Logos coming down, looked through the blood of the animals that were shed, even though it was just temporary, to deal with sin on a temporary manner, not to get rid of it, divorce it once and for all, to put it away, the thing that's dead is gone. And he said he couldn't look on that unrighteousness. But as you look through a red glass upon that which is red, which sin is red, you see white. So it was that God, looking through shed blood, was able to look down and allow the people to meet him, to allow the people to deal with him. So, when we think of the blood, it has to do with covenant. You notice even Jesus said, he said, drinking this, I'm making a covenant. We'll drink it anew in my kingdom. The emblems. We'll eat the bread and we'll
drink of this wine. I'm making a covenant. So our major thought was, and the minute you talk about blood, you cannot separate the blood from the word. You can't do it. Brother Branham called it the bleeding word. And that was true. Jesus was literally a logos of God. In other words, a complete manifestation of God, and they crucified him. He bled. He's in the book of Acts calls him the blood of God. And you can see right there that without the blood, you don't have a religion. Now, you can have religion, but you don't have a true religion. You don't have reality. You got a philosophy. You got a bunch of humbug stuff. You might even have spirits talking to you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Spirits, actual spirits. The devil himself could come like he came to Jesus. Why, the devil invaded Judas and took him over. And the devil's going to take the Pope over. And for a while, it'd be fabulous, no doubt. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Be marvelous. It's just like for years, America with that, the sheik that came up with the two horns. He spoke like a lamb, then pretty soon roared like a lion. Now that America is the only single great power in the world, what's she doing? Roaring like a lion, roaring like a lion. Even the draft dodger's roaring like a lion. Oversteps Congress. No problem. He's El Presidente. And the king can do no wrong. And his wife also. I'm not talking politics, I'm telling you the truth. America's that country. You think we're not building the image of the beast? Who's going to take over when the image is thoroughly built? The nations all come together. We're the only superpower. Popey, old boy. And he won't have to smoke pot. Or eat mushrooms to get visions. Huh? Oh, no. He'll get visions and everything else. But you know where it's going to come from. Just a word to the wise. So, you wouldn't have this word. There ain't no way. No word of God is effective outside of the shed blood. Now, the shed blood in turn is not effective outside of the word. And yet you'll find most people say, well, what is this word bit, Brother Branham came? Like this man from India. He said, you people in America, Brother Branham had to come to you, but not me. He said, we in India always had the word. It's you in America. I heard him preach one night. He preached about an hour and a quarter somewhere there. He used two or three scripture. I looked back over my notes. I preached an hour and a half. He used about 200. I'm not saying, no, no, no. He said, he's a model of India. And the prophet came to me, and I've always used multitude in the scriptures, and didn't need him, and he had three or four scripture. Now, if he had three or four scripture all right, and I had 300 wrong, that's a different story. But he made himself the Son of Man. He had people follow him. Lightning would come in your presence and bounce off around your toenails. Cloud fall in the air. Oh, man, that's great. Oh, man, that's great. No, it's the devil. That's great. Yeah, that's great. Well, that little humble thing, yeah, that's great. Huh? Remember, the Bible said, he that's greatest is servant of all. When you try to get people around you and run them, preachers, elders, and everything else, you try to mold them the way you want them to go. You think you can make them spiritual. You do this and that. I tell you something. You're going to fail. They won't get spiritual. You destroy them. Feeding the word will make you spiritual. So, Brother Bailey, it's your manner. Well, so I got a bad manner. I don't like yours either. I'm just kidding. We record these for other people too. So, we find Jesus as the mediator of the new covenant and to the blood of sprinkling. Woo, my. We've got a covenant, and the priest took the blood and sprinkled the people. All right. No covenant if no blood. See? Now, the point is what came first, covenant or blood. Now, in the case I'm talking about, back in Genesis, the covenant came first, but before they could get back on par with God, they had to have blood. So, all right. Then the word always supersedes the blood. But without the blood, there is no way to get to the word. So now the point is, if the word is everything, because God by word made everything and maintains everything, and you want to be a part of the fulfillment and blessing of the covenant word,
How are you going to get there? Only by the blood. Now, if you come by the blood and you refuse the light of the covenant, where are you? You're condemned because you trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant because you don't want the covenant. So here we are as we were last time, just saying to you, look, when you take these emblems, just understand once and for all that you're simply telling the world that this is the blood of the covenant. You're testifying that you have received the living word of God for this hour, and you are fulfilling. And somebody here, I believe, is going to do it, because this generation, that means this kind of people, and that means you kind of people and that homosexual bunch out there, will not pass away. You will grow brighter and brighter where the glory never fails, and they'll get rottener and rottener till all their flesh is falling off their bones diseased. Every imagination in men's heart rotten. Coming against God in the great tribulation, they gnaw their tongues in pain and curse the God of heaven. They say, save us from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, you hear what I just said? Well, you believe what I'm saying? I'm quoting the scripture. That's what's coming. We want to get out of here. So you're receiving the word of the hour. What is the word of the hour? The word of the hour was back in the Alpha. I will eat it with you anew in the millennium. The word of the Omega, the same one is telling us. It'll soon be there. What I have been reincarnated for the wedding supper. We will come back together and celebrate anew. What you're doing now, you're going to do again. Not this way. But you're doing it. So what about foot washing? I don't know. Don't think there'd be dust over there? I don't know. They go together here. Brother Branham, I don't think, said a word about it. He might have. He preached about, what, 1,100 sermons we got from 1,400 maybe we got recorded now. I never heard them all. Never read them all. I don't know what all he said. I don't know what he said about it all. But I know this one thing. Your brother Branham was one to make much of the blood. And when God looked down that day, when Brother Branham became critical of that woman who had backslid and gone out in the world, he looked and he thought, he said, that old woman, phew-wee, with her boyfriends, and she looks like a broken down haggis bag. Ooh, my, and her boyfriends, they look pretty worm-eaten. And he was just a criticizing. He saw the earth turning under a circle of blood and said, yes, William Branham, without that circle of blood, you wouldn't have anything either, and you're condemning her. Look what you are. Words to that effect. And he had to go and apologize to that woman. She broke down. She said, are you Brother Branham? He said, I am Brother Branham. And came back to the Lord. See, look, you just can't have one without the other. You can't have Rhema separate from Logos. You can't have blood separate from Word. You can't do it. You can't do it. So therefore, we certainly thank God for both, and we know without the sprinkling of that blood on our hearts, the life coming back, sprinkling us, we wouldn't be part of that covenant. So this is what God has set forth in His Word. Don't separate them. Rejoice in them. And know that some of you here, because the younger ones will go in, That's the way it was in the type, and that's what Brother Branham said. I expect to be out of here, and you know I'm expecting that for some time, but my reservation had not been recognized at this point. No voices had come up high or anything else. But someone here, you'll be standing here. By the grace of God, the rest of us will soon, as we come up, be joining in what we're doing tonight under its proper order, right? So this is very, very wonderful and very essential. And to the world, they don't see it, but we do. All right, let's rise at this time and come forward for communion foot washing. Remember, we have room back here in the office for about 12 people at one time, and the men over yonder, and the ladies out there in the room. And we have also those who, one passes the bread and two have the wine, and their little throwaway cups, you just take it and move along. You're all right. Let's pray to God to bless this part of this. Heavenly Father, we're asking you to Help us to realize more than ever that this is the truth, that without the word, the blood would just be standing there. It wouldn't work. And without the word, why would the blood be shed? We know that there was a great necessity, Lord, for you to find a way so that man could come to you. And we know it's wonderful, and we celebrate it. And how wonderful it is, we'll know shortly in the resurrection. We'll know shortly. You will understand through that process of greater sanctification and manhood, adulthood, the marvelous things of God that we only started to know here, and will open up upon us. And what we do now, we'll be doing again, without a doubt, because you said so. And just how, we leave that to you. Under all conditions, we leave that to you. But we know we'll be doing it. And we know it's going to be wonderful and marvelous, and it's a part of you as the great Rhema and the Logos bringing it forth. So we're fully content that what is sown here will shortly be reaped. And that's marvelous. Even as your own word said, to ask for the rain in the time of latter rain. Ask for that teaching rain. Ask for the word to be restored at the end time. And Lord, I'm one that admits I didn't know the first thing about it, but I'm glad that there was something in my heart that said, this is it. And now, more than ever, is just the absolute truth. It's more than it ever before. So help us together as we partake of these emblems to be spiritual minded, to be truthful with ourselves, because that's the way communion is taken. It's not with somebody else. It's our own hearts, our own lives, that we know that we believe this word with all our hearts as much as we can. We're satisfied that you alone have the words of eternal life. You, dear Jesus, mediator, the Son of the living God, and mediating, interceding right now, and standing as our surety, having shed your blood, bringing that covenant to pass every whit. So we appreciate that. And Lord, we're expecting from even the little things a mighty growth, because little seeds bring forth great things. And we appreciate it so much to know that even a glass of cold water is a tremendous thing under the right conditions. And this is the right condition tonight, Lord, for these ordinances you've laid down. And we believe that certainly we are sowing for the great future. Now we give thee glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The brethren come forward then and take care of the service. And you know how we come from around the back and this front. Heavenly Father, we now take our leave of each other here in this little meeting place where we come together for your word. We pray that we may take thy word more and more in our hearts, to be more and more filled with the Holy Spirit, to be more and more filled with that life that is from you, Father, and to manifest it according to what is required of us. May we not be forgetful of that, to remember whence we were digged, but also remember the position we are positioned with. We dedicate ourselves to you, therefore, anew. Keep us on the way home, Lord, and bring us back together again. We pray with greater faith and greater assurance and substance of God within our hearts than we have even previously, making every day and every moment and every meeting count as is never counted before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. I'm terribly tired. I was before I came, but not so tired as I know tonight. I go home, and if I sleep, I'll be tremendously happy. If I get up with enough energy, I'll be deliriously happy. And if I don't have too much pain, I'll be a little happier on top of that. I want you to feel sorry for me. The thing is, I'm just letting you know, hey, look, I've worn out. I'm sorry. If you now you've got some spare parts and want to give them to me, we can arrange it fine. But let's face it, I feel too many people have that backbone now, so I don't want anybody's backbone. Not throwing off on anybody, it's just the truth. So I want your backbone, and it looks like I've lost mine. All right, the 11th chapter where Paul is speaking, and of course he's telling them what we know to be the truth, that he got from God what he gave them. And nobody told him, God himself told him. Now, that's why he was so long in the Arabian desert. And then, you know, God gave his prophet perfect recall.
not only give them perfect recall, you get a prophet like William Branham. And I suppose, I'm sure that Moses and Paul went through the same thing Daniel went through. They say, hold it, let me tell you your dream. Because you ain't telling it right. When you see a prophet do that, it does something to you. He said, hold it, don't tell me, I'm going to tell you. You know something? Daniel did it one time. Woo, glory, hallelujah. Woo, look at Daniel. I'm not running Daniel down, but don't you understand, Brother Branham literally did it maybe dozens of times? Then what kind of a prophet did we have at the end time? The one man with the pillar of fire who can reveal the Word of God. My, that should do something for us. Walking in the light as He is the light, having fellowship with the blood cleansing. How are you going to get the blood to cleanse outside the Word? Claim the blood and defy the Word of God. Bible says you died under witnesses under the law. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Huh? Where was the blood when they lied to the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Uh-huh. They'd have been full of the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't have tried lying to the Holy Ghost. You better believe it. And when you're under the blood, remember, the Spirit witnesses to the blood. You ever get blood cleansed, brother, sister? The Holy Ghost got to come in. Well, brother, what about that scripture says, you know, he got himself all cleaned up and seven worst devils come in. That's for you, not me. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. When the blood cleaned me, that was the time for the Holy Ghost to come in. Now, don't think those thoughts, brother, sister. Don't try to make the Word of God, fight the Word of God. Don't try to get the prophet all messed up. Believe me, William Branham was not messed up. He went right to his death knowing he would die. He did mistake the vision of the hole in the throat was a tracheotomy, not a bullet. I think before he got injured, he knew that would happen. If you talked to me the way my wife did, you'd understand something. Okay, he said, the Lord told him plain, outright, plump and plain. He said, the night I was betrayed, I took this bread and I broke it. I gave thanks. And I said, take ye, this is my body. Broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. And remember that everybody wants to remember just that one night. What do you want to remember just that one night? What good would that one night be without what went ahead of it? Brother Branham said, when I'm gone, eat a very rare steak and think kindly of me. Why? His ministry, his life. Who he was, what he did. Proving the Father was with him, that he was of God. Remember. Now we're not going to go back 2,000 years. We're going to go back when Brother Branham was here in Luke 17 and 30, the days of the Son of Man. When the Holy Ghost, called by Brother Branham, Son of God, from Romans 1, I think verse 4, then lets you know that that same ministry of Elohim in Jesus the Son is the same ministry here because it was in a prophet there. It's a prophet now. God doesn't change. So the point is, what Jesus are you looking at tonight? What are you remembering? You got to remember the one that was back there 2,000 years ago. You better know all about him. You better know what he's doing now. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. Because some people think he's decomposed. Some people think he's in a coma. Some people are sure we're preaching God the Son. A friend of mine in Canada was just accosted by a guy that ought to know better. He said, you believe like Lee there, you're preaching two gods. He said, hold it right there. He said, you're too confrontational. He said, I've got 70 pages of quotes right now for Brother Branham proving you're wrong. There's a picture on the wall. Now, Brother Dale, That is not a picture. That is a composite of pigments, of various types and shadows. But isn't a picture. Why am I doing this? Because I can't stand people trying to say I'm talking about God the Son. And they themselves claim to have a gene of God, the Holy Ghost inside as their soul. And can't understand where their stupid teaching takes them. It'll take them to God, poured everything in Christ. Now there's nothing but God. God's gone. Here he is now. Now Christ pours all in the church. Now there's no Jesus. Now we got church. Elohim of God. Hallelujah. Oh, Elohim's pure, Brother William. Elohim's pure. I'm doing Elohim of God. Hey, read my mind. Norm, you're in Pentecost all these years. You're full of ghosts. Read my mind. Should be every Elohim of God. You're not the Elohim of God. You got a soul from God. And it blanked out. And you're learning now.
Amen.
Merciful God. Yeah, that's what they told John McCrae, Pete, after Fair did it. You know the guy. If he put his mouth out of gear and his ears into gear, something might happen. Always confrontation. Always got the answers. Don't take the cup tonight, Brother Sitch, if you're sitting on the fence. And you got an idea, we're talking about God the Son. And you don't even know that you're strictly Jesus only. I want some answers from you. I'm not afraid to drink tonight. I'd be afraid on my own grounds of righteousness because I'm a louse-bound heathen. But not on this word, Brother Sitch. No way, shape, and form. Uh-uh. No vindicated prophet. That's what he said. I can take it right back to the scripture and show you word by word. Spirit of prophecy? What does it matter? Yeah, I got it. And the exact degree I need to teach. The exact degree I need to do what I had to do in my lifetime. Just the same as you have. And so it'll ever be. Eat, drink. Yep, drink. The new wine. Don't put it in old bottles. It'll destroy you. You know something, brother, sister? If you're trying to take this message and you're one of the old bottles, you're going to die. You're going to die. But the new wine won't. It'll go on. And you're just an old garment of organization, and you want a new patch? I got news for you. Your garment's going to explode. There'll be nothing left but the patch. Yeah. Yeah. Like, and those false prophets used the censers illegally, and a false fire came. God said, destroy them all, but keep the censers. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Destroy the man, but never the word. Oh, no. That's why David could have been after God's own heart. Well, thank God we are too. Let's rise at this time. We're not ignorant, brother, sister. Heavenly Father, we're going to come forward this time to partake of the emblems, and we're going to wash feet. We're going to be happy in the Lord. And Lord, we're going to just praise your wonderful name that we can do these things that are so simple and yet so marvelous that we can do them. And because you said to do them, and we know that there's great gain in doing the will of the Lord, because even a glass of cold water is going to get a benefit. A little letter written, a little card sent, a little flower, some little thought here, some little way thing there, Lord, it not loses your word. Neither then will obedience to your word tonight. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for these emblems. We want you to sanctify them by the Holy Spirit, by the word of Almighty God. May they truly do us good. May people be healed tonight, Lord, by partaking. I even think of myself, Lord, getting some good benefits of strength and all. But only to do your will, Lord, further and to live long enough to see this word go and grow, Lord, more and more. But if I'm any kind of a sore thumb to the word, then, Lord, I'd just sooner get out of here now and not be hindrances. Brother Branham said we don't want to hinder and get in anybody's way. So we give you our
praise tonight from our hearts. We give you our hearts, Lord, and we hope unreservedly. Take control of the rest of this meeting as you have previously by the grace of God. And may, Lord, every benefit that is ours accrue to us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We get there more morning at 10 o'clock because the folk that stay over get away early. And we'll have dinner afterward. And trust you get a good night's rest. And the Lord bless you. And again, I apologize for taking time tonight on something which I abhor taking time on. But if it settles the dust anywhere, which it won't, I've done all I could do. So let's be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your kind love and mercy. Go with our people tonight as they go to their homes, Father. May they have real good night, deep rest, and real strength from God come forth. And learn how to divide the word and stay with it, Father, through thick and thin, knowing that it's the issue has been cast, the die has been cast. We're past the perpendicular. There is no way we can come back. Father God in heaven, I believe that we turn that corner upward by the grace of Almighty God. Now we ask you to heal the sick amongst us, Father. There's so many of us need healing. We don't know that this time that what your will is concerning it, because perhaps there's something in there that's we've done something. We don't know it, but we do know, Lord, that when the conditions are met, that things do happen. We pray you, Lord, help us to meet every single condition and know we're in the clear, and in which our faith stand forward and go forward and move in the Spirit of God. And until the very time comes when we're taken off this earth, or the bride is fully glorified, and the resurrection is taking place, and then we're all taking up there to that great, great time, which absolutely is so marvelous, Lord, we can't even think proper thoughts about it. Just know it's truth, even as we saw truth this hour through the prophet. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Didn't know the first thing about these things, and God gave it to him. And you know, you got to realize that William Branham didn't know the first thing about a lot of things either, and God gave it to him. He wouldn't have known the things of the Scripture. I asked him one time about a certain thing. I said, Brother Branham, how in the world did you know that? He said, he told me. He didn't look on anybody's book. He didn't study a lot of articles. He just read it, and God spoke to him. He said, notice, this was over here, and this is over here. And that's where you learn the left hand and right hand of God, the two vines intertwined, the blessing and the cursing. You know where the Scripture says, let's see if he'll come. Maybe he'll leave us a blessing instead of a cursing. But you can't have God come without a left hand and a right hand. It's impossible. But everybody thinks it isn't. They're all mixed up. Well, he comes with the right hand and the right hand and the right hand. He'll be down with the left hand later. Hogwash. Read Malachi, the fourth chapter, the way it's written. And then remember, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 can't be written different and be the same God, the same Bible, the same word can't be done. So Paul received the Lord that which he delivered them. I like the fact he delivered it to them. He came to them, he gave it to them. They didn't go seek him out, oh great guru in the desert. We hear you out there and we think maybe you heard from God. Nah, he went to the sheep. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now you're looking at that word Lord. That Lord actually means controller. Like magistrate, the one in authority. A name above every name. See, nothing is done in heaven that isn't done by the two of them. And one's the Son, one's the Father. And one is God, the other is not God. That's right. And the one is the adoption son or the place son, which means that he's got 50% of everything the Father's got. But he's been brought up right. See, the devil wasn't. The devil, he got a certain portion, he said, I'm going to use it. And he used it. Jesus didn't. The Christian says, I've got a certain portion, but I'm going to let God use it in me. Then it's used right. That's why you've got all these gifts in the church, and they're spurious, or they just don't do any good. They just cause problems. You get people putting coals of fire on Bibles and all that kind of junk and nonsense. Forget it. They don't believe in Brother Branham. They'll talk more about Daniel telling one king a dream he forgot. William Branham told many people dreams they forgot. So where does Daniel stand? Just where God put him. We can't make comparisons. As the Bible says, what's wrong with you? They're out there comparing themselves with each other all the time and comparing this and that. You don't make comparisons.
You make comparisons you'll never believe for 15 seconds that the 24 elders, 12 of them are the 12 patriarchs. Forget it. And where does David come in? I never heard of a matriarch. Get enough women running God, twisting his arm, you might get some matriarchs in the New Bible or something. A little sarcasm doesn't hurt anybody. Especially if it's good for you. I like it myself. And notice that this Lord, Jesus, was betrayed. Now, if he was betrayed back there, he's going to be betrayed now. Can't help it. As long as sin is in the world, you've got these problems. Jesus is the first one that's going to be betrayed. He said, blessed is the man that's not offended in me. Ha! He's the one that gets all the offense from people. You notice when Eve was all messed up, she said, you sent the serpent, didn't he? And Cain was messed up. He said, well, you gave me her. God's very convenient to blame for everything. Yeah. But it doesn't pay. It doesn't pay. He was betrayed. What does it mean to be betrayed? He didn't do it. He's a scapegoat. Everybody else was wrong and he wasn't. But he gave thanks. He's in good spirits. And he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner he took the cup. When he stopped saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, so oft you drink it in remembrance of me. And there again, the Lord's Supper is not just simply say, well, you know, Jesus, God had a son, he was on earth and he died. That's not remembering him. How many have children that died? Let me see your hands. Yeah. Well, Oscar had a boy die. Ours died at 36. Did you think I remember just that he was born in our family? I remember him in the crib. I was away from home. He came home. I came home. He looked at me very strange because he'd kind of forgotten me. You just don't remember a person. You remember all about the person. So when you take communion, you don't just say, well, you know, he died. And you put everything into a manifestation and you don't know the scripture behind the manifestation. So now you got a manifestation that's not scriptural. Now where are you? Communion self-examination. And the self-examination in my books is not, did I have a bad time this morning? Did I cuss my wife out? Did I kick the dog? You know, did I have a fight with the mailman or somebody else? Or I get so mad that I did this and I did that. We had a row. We refused to pray and all those things. Those things aren't good. But let me tell you something. That's not it at all. Why? Because there's a substitute. There's something there ahead of all that. There's something there to give you victory. So when he says, remember me, he means to remember. And you know something? Matthew wrote a whole book on him. John wrote a whole book on him in three epistles. You know that? Peter wrote two epistles. Then John was given a prophet to come on the scene. And John became a scribe in the book of Revelation. It's hard to understand, I don't. But they remembered. There's a song called Remember Me. And it tells you every line under what conditions to remember. And Brother Branham said, when I'm dead, eat a rare steak and remember me. The person. Something about him that's real. Personal. A relative. The older brother. Remember. See? He gives you the two things to remember. That as oft ye eat the bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. And that's Revelation 19. Don't stop drinking the cup and eating the bread. Many people today say, well, he's come, he's present, and so we don't do it. I've been accused of it, and they're liars. The deacons in this church has orders. If I go haywire, I'm not here. They must have communion once a month, or I'll call them to charge. We'll kick them out. Someplace else. Because you're not worthy to be deacons. Forget it. You can flub the dub over that. You'll flub the dub over anything. You fill the church with longhorns and God knows what. They don't all come from Texas either. Mossback Canadians and who knows what. You know. It's serious. You're remembering. That's why they did this every day, so they'd remember a lot. Brother Brown said, Brandon Tabernacle, you do wrong. Every day they did this. I don't say we should do it. But maybe I should say we should do it. So you get together. I'm not making any rules, just stay with Brother Brandon. You show he's dead. What about his death? He paid it all. The handwriting and the ordinances which were against you, they're all wiped out. You say, Lord, don't you remember I lied and I said this lie and I said that lie and I did this sin, I did that sin? No. You say, what about the man that lived with all those women out there, committed all that adultery and all? Well, you're the only one remembering it. God doesn't remember it. Do your sins be like crimson? They'll be white as snow. Remember. Remember. It's the same saying, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw not nigh. And thou shalt have no pleasure in them. See, remembering is a tremendous factor. The kid writes a test in school, but he can't remember. Remember. See? Get your memory lined up with the word of Almighty God. Now I said, wherefore whoso shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty. What's the guilt? They didn't remember. They didn't remember. And to really remember, you've got to know what the Lord said about the manifestation. Everybody's in love with the manifestation. The Jews were. They said, oh, they said, this guy's wonderful. Then one day they wanted to stone him. He said, why you want to stone me? What good work? Oh, there's no... The works are great, but it's your mouth, man. It's your mouth. And he said, just a minute. You remember those works long enough, and you know I never did them. God had to do them. Your own Sanhedrin says so. But they didn't. You and they remembered? Their own creeds and dogmas. They never got dressed for the wedding supper. Remember. Remember. Not remember who you are, remember who he is. And what he means. And our identification with him. Let a man examine himself. What's your memory like tonight? What is your memory? Like the woman missionary on the train asked, it was Christmas, she asked the little girl, who's Jesus? Oh, he's a little baby in the manger. That's about what the majority of people know about Jesus today. Or he's God the Son. Hogwash, he's God the Son. If that's your memory, why do you take Lord's Supper? If I'm preaching two gods, you can't get there, why do you take Lord's Supper? You're drinking damnation to yourself. What we're looking at is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Examine him, the truth. Now we're getting somewhere. See, all this lines with the scripture I read tonight to you. And this keeps us full of the Holy Ghost. And keeps us moving on. He that eats unworthily. How many Trinitarians take the Lord's Supper and they don't get blamed for it? Oneness. They're drinking condemnation. The very thing that they should remember concerning him who was here, according to Scripture. Forget your understanding of a manifestation. Go behind what the Word says by revelation and vindication. Now you're looking at the real person. Remember. You and I said tonight is the truth. There wouldn't be one person that's not healed amongst us tonight. There wouldn't be one of us that's sick. We're not remembering. This caused why? I said many are sickened weekly. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What's he talking about? What I delivered, remember. Remember the betrayal, the night of betrayal. Who was betrayed? The Son of God. See, all of these things are what we're looking at. This is not just simply an extra special service once a month. This is a part of it all. See, and we're all part of it. Now, when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, so we not be condemned of the world. In other words, you look here and you say, man, I was wrong on that. Not just an action. Everybody goes to the action. No. But the one man once said so truly, the guy wasn't a thief because he stole. He stole because he was a thief. And Brother Branagh said, come into the world speaking lies. We don't condemn wrongdoing. Myself and you, we don't do that. But we don't look at him. We're all the time looking at the pit and what's in it. We're supposed to turn our back on it and look to the rock from whence we are hewn. Because we are the sons of God. We are the children of God. Our souls are a part of God. We came by natural election. You know what you're doing right now? You're getting dressed. Where do you find any theologian teach that outside of a pulpit like ours based on William Branham? I never got this by myself. I was a sovereignty believer before I met Brother Branham. That's why I got such a kick out of him. But boy, I didn't know how far he went. He was in my house one day. He had breakfast before he went fishing and on a boat ride and all. And he talked for about 2 hours on sovereignty. And he said to my wife, he said, I'm going to make your husband a believer. And we thought he was both kidding. Do you think I believe for 1 minute God knew how many fleas there'd be and how many times they'd bat their eyeballs? My understanding of sovereignty was fairly good. I studied Dr. Pink. I understand Brother Branham said if he was here today, he'd believe this message. But to really understand, to really believe, to really remember him who is the Word. If you believe him, if you remember him outside of the Word, my brother, my sister, you're on the chopping block. I'm on the chopping block. But to believe him who is the Word. What am I saying now in closing? The manifestations are over. The Word lives. Stand with it. The one that died is risen and promised, one day I'm going to come back and start all over again. What did he do when he got back to earth, my dear brother, sister? He went to them and revealed to them the things of the kingdom. What will he do as our great high priest between us and God? Reveal the things of the kingdom. I'm looking for further sanctification and everything that's there. And I'm beyond my feelings. If God doesn't do it, Levi's going plumb to hell and ask God, please give me quick annihilation because, hey, nothing's worthwhile anyway. It's in his hands. What am I supposed to do? Can I suddenly jump up and down and get happy and shout? I can hardly get up and downstairs. How am I going to get around shouting, John? I don't feel like it anyway. But I can be on fire with his word with the dross burnt out. And the life riches of Christ have the ascendancy. Well, that's where we're at tonight, brother, sister. This is just part of our life. Let's rise at this time and partake. We have the foot washing and we got room back here in the little office, about a dozen people and things like that. Let's, the brethren come forward and we'll just dedicate the emblems. Are the brethren here for serving them? Okay, Heavenly Father, at this time we dedicate these emblems. Knowing, Lord, that your word has set it forth, and there again the mind of man would say, what is the use, what it's all about? But tonight we learn even a little more. In this simple service, Lord, as we pass through, let every heart be bowed in humility to the grace of this hour, which is the revelation as we've never had it before, to remember him who gave his life, our elder brother, who is now on the throne. And one day we'll come back to him in the great incarnation, Revelation 19, and rule and reign in the temple worship and go on and on. We want to remember him who is the Word, and remember him according to the Word, and remember he still is the Word, and there is no change. Unto thee we give glory, Lord, as we believe for your help and this service tonight in Jesus' name, amen.
Just rise and be dismissed at this time.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your kindness and goodness and mercy to us, Lord, taking us through this service and through this day, Father, and another day ahead of us, praying for tomorrow's service, blessing upon the people as they go home. May they rest well, Lord. May they feel your presence, and may they be built up in the most holy faith and learn what your word says, Lord, and stay by it, that we might be more and more word believers, not as a matter of just memory, but, Lord, as it is in truth, as it is Christ Jesus, as is given in this hour to a bride. And unto thee we ascribe the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.